This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, we should say host, but also realtors with Oakwind Realty in downtown Vancouver. So excited for today. We've got a great episode. It's just the two of us talking about eight ways to get an amazing deal in this market. So this is a buyer's, check this one out for sure.
Yeah, this is a buyer's bonanza, I would say. A buyer's bonanza. The exciting thing about this, Adam, is it's the last week of August. We're headed into Labor Day long weekend.
Yes.
Everybody's fired up about the long weekend. But here's one thing all buyers should be fired up about. The start of the fall market, some new inventory, some existing inventory for sure, and some deals that are potentially waiting to be carved out. And we're giving you tips on how to get the best deal possible.
Yeah. And this list is by no means exhaustive, but I think it's a really good starting point. And there'll be some things that not every buyer has thought about. And there might be some good tips for some agents.
Would you say this is decades of experience?
Decades, Matt.
Decades of experience, all packaged into 45 minutes. So there you go.
Yeah. Thank us after, but it's a good one for sure.
Absolutely. But before we get to that, Adam, we do have
the segment that remains nameless.
That's it. I don't know if this is too easy. I'm going to say this is, we're at the end of August. I'm going to go back to the July stats. I'm just doing a multiple choice question because this struck me as interesting. Adam, what makes July 2025 unusual for the Vancouver region's real estate sales? Now, this is multiple choice. Was it A, it had the lowest sales of the year? B, it was the busiest month for sales of the year so far? C, housing starts reached record highs? Or D, active listings increased significantly?
Okay, Matt, I'm going
to
say...
Before you get to your answer, Adam, I want to tell you about the Zonda Dealmakers event. We've talked about this a couple times on the show, and there's reason why it's coming up very soon, Tuesday, September 16th at the Fairmont Waterfront. If you are in Vancouver real estate in any capacity here in Vancouver, you are going to want to not only know about Vancouver Dealmakers, but you're going to want to attend.
Yeah, Matt, this is a new event.
It's a brand new event, Adam.
Yeah, and it brings together the region's top residential housing developers, builders, and capital experts to really break down what's moving in the market, where the deals are happening, and what to expect heading into not only the fall, but 2026. So this is super exciting. You're going to hear from past guest Neil Crystal, who's president and CEO of Polygon Homes. Another past guest, Bo Jarvis, who's president and CEO of West Group Properties. Cyrus Navabi, who's president of Qualix Landmark.
We're aspiring to get him on the show.
We absolutely are. And of course, other folks from CBRE, Nicola Wealth, CIBC, and many more. Expect a packed morning with insights, strategic conversations, and networking opportunities that you're not really going to be able to find anywhere else. So just make sure if you are going to get tickets there, sign up using the code VREP25 and save 25%.
So how you sign up, Adam?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say, this is the place you want to see and be seen in the fall of 2025. That's for sure. Dealmakers.builderonline.com/events/Vancouver, or even easier, just Google Vancouver Dealmakers Builder Magazine to register. There's a promo code box. You type in VREP25. That's VREP25. You get 25% off that ticket price. You get to hear from the best and brightest in the business, and you get to rub shoulders with the best and the brightest in the business.
Yes. Yes. It's going to be a great event.
That's the Vancouver Dealmakers event, September 16th.
And who knows? Maybe are the sellouts playing? Pete and Daryl and the...
Oh, my God. I mean,
that would be... that should be a separate event.
a separate event. Put it this way. This one would be sold out if they were playing. That's for sure. But Adam, let's get back to this question about July's sales.
Yes.
So July 2025 was unusual for a reason. Did it have the lowest number of sales? A, was it the busiest month of sales so far in 2025? B, was it that housing starts reached record highs? Or D, were active listings increasing significantly?
I'm going to go with B, Matt.
B, so you're going to say it was the busiest month for sales so far in 2025. That is exactly correct. This data comes from Rennie Intelligence, friends of the show. July was the busiest month for sales in the Vancouver region so far this year, a case with little historical precedent. At the same time, active listings saw their first monthly decline and weak housing starts signal tighter supply conditions ahead. We will see, but it is interesting to think July is a month with the most number of sales, and that signals a couple things, but mainly in my mind, it signals, holy, what a spring.
And what a world, eh? Like nothing makes sense.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyways, that's great data coming from our friends at Rennie. What else, Matt? We got to get to this conversation because this is a great one. 8 tips for buyers in this current market.
You know, we did something like this back in 2017 maybe. And do you remember there was a listener who did a diagram?
Oh yeah, that was great.
That was unbelievable.
It was fantastic. I know. Maybe someone will do a diagram this time.
Enjoy.
This podcast is sponsored by Atlin at Clayton Crest, a master plan community in the West Clayton area built by Zentera Developments.
Zentera is an absolute force, Adam. They've been nominated for Multifamily Builder of the Year for 10 consecutive years and just won again at the Georgies for 2025 Multifamily Home Builder of the Year.
What's really exciting about Atlin is the West Clayton location. You're within walking distance to the future SkyTrain station, giving you that perfect balance of city access while living in a peaceful, family-friendly community in the Fraser Valley.
And if you have kids or are planning to start a family, there's an on-site daycare where residents get first access. This kind of thoughtful planning is why Zentera's projects stand out in the market.
The amenities at Atlin are incredible too, Matt. A rooftop patio with stunning views, fitness center, co-working space, and lounge areas for events. The outdoor space is extensive with 2 fitness areas, 3 children's play areas, and multiple spots to relax.
With major investments happening in the SkyTrain and the 72nd Avenue extension, West Clayton is set for explosive growth. This is genuinely one of those opportunities to invest in a community before values skyrocket.
And that's really the key here. This isn't just about finding a beautiful place to live. It's about making a smart investment in your future as the whole area continues to develop.
Pre-sales for Atlin will begin soon. Register today at atlincondos.ca. That's atlincondos.ca.
Okay, Matt, so is this the last episode of the summer? I guess so, pretty much.
Yeah, this is the last episode of summer, and it's fitting, Adam, because we have 8 buyer tips for 2025 fall.
Yes.
This is the moment, if I can say, where we've been plodding along. The spring, as everybody knows, didn't really materialize.
Right.
Inventory seems to have crested. We're not in a rising inventory environment over the course of the summer. However, what does Tuesday after Labor Day bring? That's the question on everybody's mind.
Well, probably the stress of getting the kids back to school. And
yeah,
there's always a bit of a hangover, right? Like,
yeah.
And so I think maybe usually
you're right. So nothing to do with inventory. I was going to say inventory.
Well, you know what? I think a lot of people that are doing cancel relists or price adjustments might wait until that first week of September, right? Because like, why waste it on a middle?
Yeah, you don't launch before the long weekend. That's crazy.
Why waste it on the Monday before the long weekend? So I think that's a probability that we'll see a bit of a spike of maybe cancel relists, probably some new listings.
And however, probably some good listings.
Yeah, but I do still think that people will probably follow that trend of kind of more like late September launch, which a lot of people wait kind of till the dust settles of summer transitioning to fall. I don't know if it'll be like a switch. But I do think, here's what I'm going to, I'll make the case and I'll put some money on it.
All right.
Friendly bet.
How much?
Zero. It's friendly. If you want to put some money on it, $50.
Okay.
I think we're going to have a better second half than first half of this year in terms of sales volume. And
so the trend will continue is what you're saying.
I think actually, yeah, I think this will be, I think this will be a more kind of optimistic second half.
Well, one thing I think we can say with some degree of certainty, and you know, I feel like for various at various points over the last 3 years, we've said it's darkest before dawn. I will say March, April, May of 2025, it can't get much worse than that.
Yeah.
I mean, it just almost can't, right?
Well, the like, tariff thing, I mean, it doesn't have the bite. The conversations around tariffs and all the Trump stuff doesn't create the uncertainty. It's like the shock and awe is over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if we get, you know, even if there's a lot of, you never say never. But yeah, I think even though more tariff talks and that sort of thing, it's, I still think we'll see the market still outperform and people be like, okay, I'm used to this now.
Yeah, I got to move on with my life. So with that said, if you are moving on with your life, you want to hear these 8 buyer tips, how to get a deal in this market. Adam, you came up with these, so you're going to lead. I'll just add color is how I'm going to position myself here, which means I'll say translate, very little.
Yeah. Translate to you do the heavy lifting. I'll chime in here.
I'll come up with the quiz question.
Well, here's the thing. This is by no means an exhaustive list, but these are some of our, these are just standout ideas for buyers in this market. So, and this is how to, so at the end of the day, especially if you're an end user and you're buying a property, you still want to let, you know, the biggest, most important thing is still that you want to make sure that you live there, not that you get the best.
That you
buy the property that you want, right? So, I mean, this might not be for everyone, but there are some tips.
Also, just something we talked about a couple of weeks back that's worth repeating. Those A-plus properties, whether it's in a nice house on a nice street or a great building, great unit, great floor plan, the great area, the box tickers. Daryl Simpson does the sellouts, we do the box tickers.
Yeah.
But those box tickers, as we've seen, move in any market. So,
yeah.
You know, you're never going to get the screaming deal on that, but sometimes that's not the purpose.
You know what? It'll always be liquid and it'll always be something that gets attention in any market, right? So it's like, I love the tier one properties for that. And we've had, you know, dozens of people on the show echo that sentiment of like always buy, even in soft pre-sale markets right now where buyers have selection, still like when you go into multiple presentation centers and you see really good quality, like that's why right now quality is everything
in
these developments, right? And location is everything too. It's because people now have choice and what are they looking for? They're looking for like premier like box tickers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Anyway. So with that said, let's get to how to get a deal on all other types of properties.
Things to consider. All right. So one is history is your friend when it comes to understanding the market and seeing where the opportunities are. And here's what I mean by that.
Yeah. Say more, because this was one that when you said it, I was like, I didn't think that's where you're going.
I like that. So it's not always it's not foolproof, but it is one of these things that when you see a downturn, we've seen busy markets. So let the history of where these sub areas can go and where these certain property types have gone in the past in busy markets help guide your decision. So for example, if something now is selling at say $1,000 a foot, but it used to trade at $1,400, we've seen that there has been buyer demand in busier markets where this can sell for $1,400 a foot. Does it guarantee that we're going back there? No, but it just shows how it basically leaves an imprint as to where it was previously. And that also suggests that there will be, it's nice to know kind of in the sub market specifically, where have we seen the most dramatic changes in pricing and where are the opportunities on a price per foot basis?
So before you say where specifically you're thinking of, this actually reminds me of past guest When was this? When was Dane Itell on the show?
Oh, years back.
Years back. But he was using kind of stock market analysis to talk about the market. And that was one of his points. Once you get to a certain price point, the next wave goes higher.
Yeah, and it's not, and there could be other factors driving why those markets, like right. You think about maybe West Vancouver houses. Will we ever get foreign back buyers. To the foreign buyer days of West Vancouver? So like that maybe doesn't make sense, but man, like people forget when Yale Town's soft right now, you can get amazing deals on like marina side.
Let's
like
talk marina like, side. I know.
1400 a foot. Now it's like, okay, 1070, 1100 a foot for certain stuff. And I'm looking at that and I'm going like, we, in a busy market, Yale Town and marina side rages.
And you know what? The price per square foot's going to jump and it's going to jump fast. When it does, that thing's going to move. You're going to miss it in a couple of weeks when that thing bumps.
That's the biggest thing, right? Is like there's like the market, like it's not going to, like it's going to gradually change. It's like activity is going to come back and that delta is going to be gone
in a minute. And suddenly you're going to go, wait, Aquarius Muse was 1,000 a foot. Now it's
whatever,
1300 or whatever, almost immediately. Yeah.
I think this is really what a lot of agents are talking about is marina side and Beach Crescent and kind of going, okay, this is still one of the nicest areas in Canada. And definitely like downtown, I mean, does it get better than that? I mean, you're tucked away from the busyness of the city. You're like a block from historic Yale Town. You got your urban fair, you got all your grocers, everything, right? Bars and restaurants. And it's there right now at a very affordable price point. And you're getting waterfront real estate.
You know, the one thing that's interesting about that is, and I don't know if there's any sort of nuance to the, you know, look at the sales prices, because certain areas in Metro Vancouver, the price points, at least on a lot of the new construction, got to a point where we talked ad nauseum on the show about it not making sense. I don't think we ever said that about Marina Side or Yale Town.
Yeah.
I don't feel like we ever were like, yeah, it trades at 1400 a foot. That doesn't make sense. It felt like that was always like there was a stability or a value proposition that made sense.
It's almost,
and we're not there anymore. And that's where the opportunity is.
And the wild thing right now is that is usually a very limited inventory area. And there's actually selection right now, which to me is wild. So like something like that. And this, I don't want to make this all about marina side, but like the point being that, you know, use history to guide you as to when the market comes, when in active markets, what were these selling for? That's a very important question, right?
Yeah.
To understand. Number two, Matt, ties into this. We're huge fans of sales ratios. Lots of agents are. Sales ratios, for people, they tell you, are we in a buyer's market or are we in a seller's market? This is, let me just give you the title. Yeah,
give us the title on number two.
Okay, number two is buy in areas that consistently outperform in all markets. Okay, here's what I mean by that. Right now, Matt, Kits is one of the busier sales ratios. And say Kits is around like, say, call it 25% sales ratio in a soft market where a lot of stuff is maybe below 20%.
Yeah.
Right? In busy markets, we used to see Kits at like 70, 80% sales ratio.
Everything sells.
Yeah, everything sells. So you want to buy in an area that is generally always a seller's market, even in soft markets. You know, it would probably be a very moderate seller's market, but man, in busy markets, these are going to be the markets that are absolutely going bonkers.
You know, one kind of interesting exercise is to, if you're working with an agent, ask them, and again, this is, you know, depending on whether it's an investment or you're looking for yourself or you're open to different communities, ask them where they'd rather have a listing.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a great question.
That is something that I've been, you know, I was just out with a buyer and we were talking about that a lot. It's like, that's kind of the lens that I use on everything.
That's an interesting question. If you're going into like a market, like say you were going to buy like a revenue property in like Edmonton, to say to the agent, not the what would you buy, but what would you, if you could have one listing right now, what would you want?
Yeah.
Because you're going to show the most.
And why.
And why, right?
Yeah.
That's a very good question. We should actually compile the best questions for agents because they're often not the ones you see.
No, that's not online. One that I've ever seen. But no. It's just funny. I had a fairly in-depth conversation with a buyer the other day about that. You know, which one of these would I want as a listing and why and in which market? And generally speaking, and it's kind of an obvious point, but the listing you want today in a hot market is definitely the listing you want because you're getting 12 offers on
it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's a good take for sure. So yeah, so keep in mind sales ratios and you know, the flip side of that is there might be some real opportunities in really soft buyer's markets, of course. But if you're looking as like a longer term hold and something that you want, if it's still a relatively busy market and a soft market, it's going to be a great market to own real estate in longer term.
Absolutely.
For all markets, right?
Absolutely. Number three, Adam.
New construction, focus on standing inventory. Now, why would somebody do that, man?
Well, we've been talking about this off and on over the course of the last, I'd say, 9 months, maybe?
Yeah.
And the fact is a lot of the inventory that was sold during that COVID boom has now come to market. It's now complete. We've seen some major moves over the course of this year with developers trying to blow product out. Condo Days was that January, February? Mm-hmm. Maybe, I can't even remember when it was. But that was a project in Surrey where they were doing 25% discounts to move the units that the developer had not sold or held back, waiting for completion to sell them when the building was built. And that's generally because, you know, you can ride the market and historically have gotten better price points on that built property. Right now, we have a ton of that inventory. Mm-hmm. And it's no secret. There's a ton of inventory around Metro Vancouver that developers are holding on to. It's brand new. GST, if you're a first-time home buyer under $1 million, is no longer a factor. You can carve out an exceptionally good deal in a lot of cases. And there's a few reasons why. Obviously, the carrying costs of developers that
property taxes.
Yeah, they're going on months of carrying these homes, and in the case with Vancouver and other areas, the BC spec tax,
empty homes
tax. But the empty homes tax. I mean, yeah. Those apply. There's real pressure on developers to get that product sold.
I often think about as well, like there's especially for some developers that have a model where there's like limited partner investors in the project, there's pressure to get people's money back to them in a reasonable timeline, right? So, and there's probably pressure coming from LP investors, like, why haven't these sold? Like, we want our money back. We want to get off with the project. That it's, there's a lot of factors tying into why someone might be motivated to move their inventory.
Yeah. And a few things. One, I think it's worth kind of spelling out exactly what you're talking about, because not everybody's going to understand the model to raise capital to build homes, right? Like,
sure.
That's kind of what you're alluding to.
Well, investors that have invested as like say in a as limited partners in the development, they've maybe had their money tied up for 3, 5, 6 years and
often they're promised a timeline
and
they're promised no guarantee but promised a return. So and time is money,
and
and that time eats into the return
exactly.
And if you want to raise more capital, usually from the same people that gave you capital in the past, you want to perform well.
Yeah, and by year 3 or 4 or 5, people are starting to go, okay, it would be nice to get that money back because there's other opportunities in different markets.
No, sorry, we're waiting on 3 units that won't sell.
Yeah.
You've already sold the bulk of the units. You need to move a couple more units to be done and dusted, get that money back, get out of the project, move on. It's time to get those sold. And in this market, it's a tough thing. That's a bigger challenge than a lot of people understand. So there's deals to be had there.
Totally. So yeah. So target standing inventory for new construction.
And there's no emotion there either. It's they want offers.
Wrap it up.
Hey everyone. Pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
Hi, I'm Michael Yu.
And I'm Morgan Brown. And we're the founders of Oakland Realty. We have 9 offices across British Columbia.
Serving all major markets of BC. If you're an agent out there, just like Adam and Matt, who happen to be licensed at Oakland, please reach out to us at oakland.com/join and type into that message box, the rep. And you'll receive a free gift and a promotion when you meet one of our leaders.
Thanks so much. And we're looking forward to meeting with you.
See you soon.
This podcast is sponsored by Jethro Condos in downtown Langley. Over 100 homes under $425,000 with one-bedroom suites starting at $399,900.
Here's what's incredible, Adam. these condos actually cash flow. When's the last time we could say that about new construction in the Lower Mainland? With these entry-level prices, the numbers actually work for investors.
And you're in the heart of downtown Langley, surrounded by trendy cafes, artisan bakeries, and parks. The area is experiencing incredible growth and new development.
Yeah, the location is absolutely key. Jethro is steps from the future Langley SkyTrain station. Get in before that transit connection transforms the area. Because once that SkyTrain arrives, you're looking at direct connections across the Lower Mainland.
Jethro is a Whitetail Homes project. Whitetail Homes has over 25 years of experience with quality construction and finishes that exceed expectations. We're talking vibrant interiors, expansive windows, and thoughtful design.
For realtors listening, they are offering amazing cooperative incentives. This is a rare opportunity where the fundamentals make sense. Affordable entry, cash flow potential, and positioned for major transit infrastructure, an all-around win.
Register at jethrocondos.ca. That's JETHRO condos.ca.
Jethro Condos, distinctly Langley, uniquely yours.
Number four is stale listings. So target stale listings. You know, there's indications. Obviously, days on market is a big one that people monitor. If you have something like PCS, the research tool that we offer, it gives you your part of your portfolio includes days on market. So that's something that
it also tells you if it's just a relist.
Yeah, exactly. So also look for that. Look for cancel relists. That's a sure sign that a seller's agent is trying to get new interest and get the listing in front of new people, which suggests that maybe they haven't had the kind of activity that would be there if it was if they thought it was going to sell, right? Or else they wouldn't be exercising that cancel relist.
How many times, Adam, have you seen this? Something's worth $100,000.
Sure.
It's listed for sale at $110,000.
Okay.
60 days later, it's worth $95,000.
Yeah.
They drop it to $103,000.
Yeah.
And then 60 days after that, they sell it for 90. And you think, man, if you would have priced it correctly off the top at 100 or 98, you would have had it sold in the first week for significantly more than you sold it in the end. Now, this is not a show for sellers right now, but what you want to do is you want to watch those people that are chasing the market, making the mistake. And there's a time where people tap out. They're like, I just got to, this is, it's done. Just get me out of this. I just want out. This has been a
might
painful,
be other forces,
painful
right?
process.
And the same forces that maybe exist now in a given market. So say, you know, 100 days after they first listed, 3 months, 3.5 months is a long time for things to change, right? And I mean, your motivation when you first listed might have been like, let's test the market. We've got time. And now 3 months later, 30, 60 days later, you're going, wait a second. Actually, you know what? Now, like I actually, my job change is happening. We are moving. We want to get this done or whatever the motivating factor is, your motivation has changed.
Testing the market usually, it doesn't last forever. And,
but for buyers, it's a clear opportunity. Put something in front of people.
Exactly. And, usually those stages are, what are the stages of grief? Anger, acceptance, whatever.
It's a different podcast.
It's a different podcast, but generally that's the process that happens. But the last one is the same, Adam. It's acceptance. Acceptance that this is the price that I have to take in order to get this sold. And you could be that buyer. You just got to monitor what's sitting. You have to be patient and you too can carve out a good deal.
I'm impressed by your understanding of the grieving process. let's go on to number five. Number five is negotiate on several points. Okay, so I always think of like this table where I've got the sellers on the other on one side and the buyers on the other side. You're representing the buyer. There's a whole bunch of marbles on the table. You want to grab as many marbles off the table as you can and then concede by giving them back one at a time, right?
Exactly.
And you, now you're in control of which marbles.
Whether or not you want those marbles.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe there's a Granny Smith in there for you. Here's a couple things you could consider, not outside of price, but of course, dates, furniture inclusions, repair credits. There's a lot of things you can negotiate on, terms and conditions, everything else, right? So if you are a buyer and you're looking to negotiate, negotiate on several points. You can always revise. In this market, contracts are going
concede.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
And you'll have room to concede.
Yeah, exactly. This reminds me of, now, who was it? There's two guys that come to mind. Todd Talbot's one.
TT.
TT. He I believe, bought, what was it, a duplex where he did the junk removal?
Yeah.
But then Mark Ting was the other who, both of them exercised this. Everything's up for negotiation in different markets.
That's such a great strategy of going into like a place where, we wrote this in an offer. It didn't come together. This was years back, but we would, it was somebody who had been in a house for like 30 years, 30, 40 years. They had a garage that was basically like from the floor to the rafters full of
just
crap.
Full, yeah.
The same thing in the basement, same. And we basically what we put in the contract is you can take anything out and you can leave anything.
Yeah.
And we'll deal with it. And that was such a huge, it took an offer that was like significantly below another offer and got us to the table. And we couldn't bridge the gap in the end, but man, that was like one of the most important things to the seller. Well, I don't want to deal with this.
No.
Especially if it's especially if it's an estate sale or something like that, right? I mean, it's a huge, huge motivating
Think about
factor.
Those things in your own life and how much you'd pay to make them go away. Like this is, it's like, oh wait, I don't have to, especially like you said, you know, if there's more than one person involved and who's going to, and family dynamics, it's like, man, let's just
keep these relationships.
Get this. Get this done and let's move on. I like it. So there's the point here is I like this analogy of grab all the marbles. Every single one is as important as the next. Slowly concede on certain ones, but make sure you're getting what you want and be creative with the type of marbles you're negotiating.
Well,
with.
This is the next one. So six, we're already at six. So we're flying through this.
Oh my God.
22 minutes in, Matt. We use strategies from hot markets in soft markets. So I love this one. And this is some of the best deals we've put together this year.
This is not often the case.
No, but you know what's so funny is, so this is, and we've talked about this on this show. For some reason, when the market's hot, everybody's okay with doing their due diligence up front. Everybody's okay going getting a bank draft the day for the offer presentations.
Everybody's okay only seeing it from 1 to 3 on Sunday.
Yeah, everyone's okay, whatever. And then the second that the tables turn on, it's like, okay, well, we want to have like 15 conditions. We want to have 30 days for, it's like overboard on what you want for due diligence. And I mean—
Which is fine.
If obviously we're fans of due diligence and having conditions is not an issue. But it just goes to show if you're willing to do your due diligence up front and treat the market, the approach to the offer as you would in a hot market, you can get incredible deals in a market like this. Because think about the seller. They're sitting there, haven't had activity, and all of a sudden the bid comes in.
They've been on 4 months.
Yeah, and all of a sudden an offer comes in that's $100,000 below maybe their asking price or a very—
Or like below, let's use a percentage like—
5%.
Yeah, 5-8% below where they wanted to be.
However, it's got zero conditions on it. It's got that you'll do the junk removal or whatever it is.
You'll have a
bank draft there tomorrow afternoon. All they got to do is sign on the dotted line. There's no 10, 15 days of conditional offers. You'll give them their dates. You do whatever. This can work wonders in a market like this.
How much do you think that's worth?
To some people, a lot.
Yeah. Right? I would say, though, like legitimately, I guess depending on the
price point, it depends on the person. But there's lots of people, like we've seen some of the buyers that have been willing to take on that strategy. It's not for everybody. I'm not saying that a lot of our clients, they want, and rightfully so. I mean, it's a great time to, buyers have leverage in this market. It's a great time to do your due diligence, to take your time, make sure that you're really in love with the place and you've made the right decision and you're okay with all the associated costs, et cetera, any risk. However, if you do want to use that strategy, you might save yourself a substantial amount of money.
It will be very hard to turn away that offer when that's probably the only offer they've seen. Yeah. And when you disappear, it's like, okay, now what? We're back to months of hoping that somebody comes and then gives us our price.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't get better as you're on the market. The flip side to that is, you know, and I know these numbers are more substantial, I think, that we're talking about. But one of the things that in a market like this, you always do want to get it. You know, we always say get an inspection.
Sure.
But you want to get an inspection in this market because anything that comes up you're going to want to make sure the seller takes care of if you're a buyer too. That's another negotiating tactic that's always, it is just part of the game in a market like this, where it's very rare that somebody doesn't come back after the inspection and at the very least get the seller to do repairs. But often there's a substantial...
especially if there's a substantial price negotiation. Amount of work. Yeah. The negotiation does not end. You know, I was just thinking though, is, you know, the one thing is consider a pre-inspection. I know it's some money, but like I said, some of the best deals we've put together this year, I think people have saved, you know, north of $30,000-$40,000 because they dropped what, $600 on an inspection to do that.
And you know what? And it's not the nice thing about doing a pre-inspection in a market like this is that you're not doing that week in and week out and then going, okay, I got a 1 in 10 shot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm dealing with 9 or 10 other groups that are writing.
A strong chance.
In this market, it's like, okay, you're probably the only game in town, essentially. Somebody could always come in, but you have that time to make sure you know what you're buying and then factor that in.
Totally. Moving on, Matt, we got number 7 is be patient, but ready. This is, it's funny, but I feel like I was telling someone the other day, I feel like I'm, not that I remember these days that well, but I feel like I'm back in dating. There's a,
it's just like a desert.
Yeah, it's just like crickets. Just the phone won't ring. Yeah. You know what? Here's that's not what I was thinking. Here's what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, there's like the there's all these movies about this and shows or whatever, how it's like, okay, man, you got to wait 2 days before you text.
Yeah. Swingers being the most famous, I think.
Well, it's funny because I was talking to an agent the other day and it was like, yeah, it's funny because like you have a showing and you don't want to text like 15 minutes after
just looking
the showing,
for feedback.
Like, looking for feedback. And it's like, this is like totally, it's like you just finished up dinner and you're like, so like, are we doing this again?
Yeah.
Anyways, that's kind of like where it's like the weird, almost rules of like dating right now in this market, because you want to be patient. You don't want to show your cards in a market like this. And you want to time the circling back in a way. So you really want an agent, and your agent will know how to do this, but who can kind of facilitate that dance and that patience of staying informed about what's happening so you don't miss the opportunity, but also being able to kind of keep it in communication so that they don't show desire or desperation on your behalf. And that goes for both sides, but there's this delicate dance that's being played in this market.
But wait, so when you say be patient,
but ready.
Like on the ground, what are we talking
about? Yeah, so like waiting, like I think dragging, so on the ground, potentially dragging things out, disappearing, coming back, making it so that the expectation was that maybe somebody was going to get an offer and then it didn't come in. Timing your offer and your communication in a way so that it doesn't suggest urgency, so that you can negotiate from a position of power.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I think about in these situations is, you know, you're in a submarket, you're wanting to buy a property, there's a 12% sales ratio. So that means basically one of every 10 properties.
Yeah.
So put yourself in the shoes of one of those 10 sellers. They're not getting a lot of offers. They're not getting a ton of activity, right? So most people, I don't think, understand the leverage that they have in that situation. And to write an offer, and if you don't get the counter, walk away. That is a brutal feeling
to a
seller or to the seller's agent, because you want to keep that dialogue alive. Like, that's what gets deals done.
Sure.
Let's keep the conversation going. Oh, wait, you're walking away? Oh,
yeah.
It's done. That's a very scary potential outcome. And it's a very useful tool for a buyer. And you know, more than once this year, it has been the case where if we're representing buyers, you write the offer, you get a counter that is not a great counter, and it's not a great counter for whatever reason, and you walk away. And 2 weeks later, you know, or maybe even sooner, but usually within 2 weeks, you get that call. And it's like, no matter how it's positioned, it's called the listing realtor cap in hand going, I'm so sorry.
And reminds me of my dating life. This all came full circle.
Exactly.
You were actually a nice guy.
Can we try it again?
Yeah.
Can we try it again? Sorry, Adam. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. This isn't going to work out. But that happens all the time. And it's one of those, you know, the bluster is real, but you can be sure for a lot of the sellers out there, the fear is real as well.
Yeah, it was for me. Let's go. Let's move on.
I'm the only game in town. I'm crying here.
Let me lie down on this couch here. Last but not least, Matt, number 8. This is an old throwback. And if you're a true VREP longtime listener, you'll know this one. But this is learn to love no photos. And it's not really coming down to just
I feel like no photos used to be more popular than it is.
Am I wrong? Now everybody. So what happens in real estate marketing for agents I've noticed over the years is that it's like what agents are doing and for, in terms of marketing, people start pushing forward and doing more with the marketing. And then there's this like contingent that doesn't catch up with it.
It pulls them up.
It pulls everybody up. So now, I mean, most people do photos at the very minimum.
Right.
But they might not do video and they might not do, you know, aerial shots.
They might not do floor plans.
They might not do floor plans or whatever. But I remember like in, you know, a decade, 15 years ago, you'd see a lot of people that wouldn't even do photos.
No,
right?
and then you get a couple. The joke
would be like the iPhone photos of, or not even like flip phone photos, and the agent would be in the mirror or whatever. Those were funny days, but those days are mostly behind us. But that kind of now that learn to love no photos has become symbolic of look for properties that are poorly marketed.
Yeah. And those still definitely exist.
They still exist, or they have photos, but they're not great photos, or they don't have the kind of intel that people. And now I would argue that even when people can't get a floor plan and stuff, they often move on.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Now it's like the standard of what the expectation of the consumer wants has increased dramatically.
And in a market like this, demands. Totally. Right? Because this is the thing of a showing schedule. Try a showing schedule right now. Yeah. We're only showing it Thursday at this time and Saturday at this time. It's like, no, I'm seeing it Wednesday or I'm not seeing it at all.
Yeah.
You know, that's it, the power dynamic has shifted.
Yes. And so learn to love no photos because a lot of people will move on and it might just be the agent not doing their job or denied access, which can really happen. I mean, if the property is tenanted, the tenant does not have to let you photograph the property if they choose not to. So, and that exists. You see a lot of that. I mean, it's at no fault to the agent. I think it's unfortunate for the agent because often people think, wow, this guy totally didn't spend any money, but they were legitimately denied access from doing their job. And ask any seller's agent that can't create marketing materials how their listing is going.
Yeah.
Oh, like that's a brutal hand to be dealt.
No.
But that creates an opportunity for buyers.
100%. So
it might be a great property.
So yeah, learn to love no photos.
Bad staging, poor marketing. The inability for access is a big one. Because if an agent is denied access from a tenancy and has to like post notice, for example, or set up or has a very limited showing schedule that they've agreed upon with a tenant, a lot of people are not going to be able to make that window that they've created. Which means that if you're willing to show up at the 3 p.m. on the Tuesday that they're able to show the property and see it, it might be a great property and you might have a much smaller buying pool that gives you more time to work on the deal and a better opportunity to put a deal together. And also the landlord's probably like, at this stage, if they have a difficult tenant situation and they're looking to unload the property, at this point, there's a good chance they're going, wait, you know what? I'm a bit more negotiable than I was.
Put yourself in the seller's shoes in that situation. They have a property they're trying to sell in a lackluster market. They have a property they're trying to sell with a tenant that is making it virtually impossible.
Yeah.
They have a property with a tenant that in almost all cases there's no reason why they ever have to leave. They can be there for the rest of their lives. And unless you have your immediate family or yourself moving in, you're stuck with them. There's a lot of financial incentive to get out from under that albatross around your neck.
And there's an agent who's has marketed his Paramount marketing plan to you and he's denied access for photos or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever his marketing plan is.
But the fact is Yeah, you know what? It's very tricky. And in that, inside that trick is where the opportunity lies. But there's, yeah, Learn to Love No Photos, I think, the marketing plan, extended almost to wildly out of touch pricing.
Yeah.
Sometimes people aren't getting the advice that they deserve or need. And all of those missteps in a market like this are very, very costly, and you can take advantage of them.
100%. So make sure, make sure that you buy the property you actually want, not just get too hyper-focused on the deal.
Yeah.
But if you're willing to be open-minded, you have different properties that you like and you're looking for a deal, there's some real strategies that will work in this market. Just a quick recap on all 8 of the ones we discussed today. So history is your friend. Look at history for clues about where markets have been and where they're capable of going. 2, buy in areas that are consistently outperforming in soft and busy markets. I'm thinking like Kitsilano here.
Kits is a perfect example.
Perfect example. 3, and Kits, like Kits, if you ever wondered if Kits was like blue chip real estate, like
yeah,
what else could be thrown at Kits?
No kidding. Actually, you know what? This downturn has really, it's kind of separated the wheat from the chaff in a lot of ways with the areas that really continue to just outperform.
No kidding. 3, new construction. Focus on standing inventory. It comes with higher carrying costs and more motivation for the developer. 4, we've got stale listings. So things to look for.
You know
for.
What? One way to think of that developer, it's yeah. a number on a spreadsheet at the end.
Yeah.
Right? You know what? At the end of the day, it might literally be that. Plug in that number. Can I walk away from this project with that number there? And will we?
But the fear of how long are we going to carry this? I remember that like this was a while back, but talking to a developer, and obviously when financing is expensive, astronomical carrying costs. Now the question when you get an offer is not, is it market value right now? It's, will I be dealing with this 6 months from now? And what costs will I incur between that time? And then what will I have to sell for?
Yeah.
Because then maybe you get that offer 6 months. Now I'm out whatever my carrying costs were 6 months plus now this yeah, new
there's a bet on all sorts of things, but that's a risky, you're in the driver's seat in that situation. Let's put it that way.
4, stale listings. Okay, so key indicators, days on market, price cuts, cancel, relists that agents are doing. I would also, you know, throw in there like if the people are very high and sitting on the market, there's a lot of indicators that are there for if something seems like it's a good time to offer. So have a look at that. 5 is negotiate on several points. Take all the marbles off the table. Concede them.
I like that. I like that. I've never thought of it as in terms of marbles. I was using, marbles is a good.
What were you using? I'm so curious now. You gestured like you were throwing a baseball.
No. My point is marbles are good. Yeah. Pick up sticks. I don't know. That's a useful way of thinking of it.
Okay, 6, use strategies from hot markets. That's honestly, I think that to me, like that's a gold standard.
Well, if you want somebody to pay attention to your offer, that's the best way to show that you're very serious, but it's got to be on your terms.
Great. It's a great move. 7 is be patient, but ready and learn how to date. Really learn how to communicate.
Right.
Or at least have your agent advise in terms of not looking desperate.
Yeah, I love that. It's a fantastic feeling when somebody comes back to you and goes, "Oh, we made a mistake."
Yeah.
Can we? And you go, "Oh, sorry, we bought something already."
Now imagine if that ever happens in your dating life. Yeah. Okay. And 8, learn to love no photos. So that's all 8 of them right there.
Easy peasy. That's a September 2025 list to go out in the market and carve out a deal. And if you want to click buy with us on VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com, we're happy to help. But if not, good luck.
There's lots of great agents out there that know these tricks.
And there's a lot of good inventory as well. So
fantastic. We'll see you on the other side.
Absolutely. So there you have it, folks. Our discussion about the 8 ways to carve out a spectacular deal in 2025 fall.
I had a lot of fun doing that.
It's hot
in here. Man, it is hot in here.
We're still in August. We're still in the heat. It's August 14th. And that AC is not getting fixed anytime soon, I'll tell you that.
My God. Yeah, this is anyways. Everyone who's been in our studio knows that our studio is notoriously hot. It's on the second floor of our commercial space in a very confined space, very well insulated.
Yeah.
But this is absurd. You know, my favorite story was... Remember when Ryan LaLonde from MLA?
Yeah, Cameron McNeil.
I think he was
McNeil,
like down to his boxer shorts.
Ryan LaLonde.
It was so hot in here. And I think he'd come from like, he's like, yeah, I just ran 30 kilometers.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then next thing you know, it's my day off. Yeah, he's like, it was a rest day, 30 kilometers. Anyways, he was like, you know, I've had this before because I'm a huge gym buff myself. okay. I've had this before where you get, you know, you run or something, you get that kind of sweat on that. If you're not in like a cooler, if you go into a hot space,
it feels like it lasts forever.
It just lasts. Yeah. It just carries on. Yeah, like as if your body still thinks you're out running.
Yeah.
And he came in like right after a run into like this super hot studio.
But the best thing was,
he was drenched.
He kept talking and everybody kind of was noticing. It was like he's dripping. And then finally he stopped. He's like, I'm sorry, guys. I got to leave halfway through the conversation.
Yeah.
But it was like we all burst out laughing. And that was a long time ago, but man.
Probably 2019.
Oh, God.
Or 2020 maybe.
Those are the days.
Yeah.
Those are the
good,
days.
Good old days. Anyways, Matt, what do we got? What else we got? We got, of course, the website.
Yeah, we got the website. Got some big featured listings coming up next week because we're heading into the fall market. Go over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com to check those out, as well as the LiveWire. This is our weekly mailer where you get things like Deal of the Month, see those featured listings there, but also, more importantly, you get stats, different types of stats, dig into sales ratios, dig into neighborhoods. It's all for free. You also have, of course, tried and true, private client services.
Yeah, because if you're not using PCS, Matt, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold prices, days on market. You basically get realtor-level information for free. It's available at your fingertips over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Just click buy with us and you can sign up for your own free account. What a way to monitor the market and what a time to have the ability to monitor new listings in your sub-market of interest. So check that out. Best way to look for real estate in Vancouver.
Absolutely. If you want to talk about that or anything else, give me a shout anytime, 778-847-2854 or matt@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or adam@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
And of course, we got that Kokomo line, info@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Well, have a great week, everybody. And we're back here next week with another, well, beginning of the fall market.
I think we talked about it before, but yeah, the lineup is, we got the Bates, we got Brendan Augmanson, we got, man, I don't even want to, Save it. Yeah, we'll let you know after Labor Day, but you don't want to miss this. Smash that subscribe button.
Is that what they say?
2,000 Faces for Radio. Subscribe today.